Good evening, High Point. How's everyone doing tonight? Merry Christmas. Awesome. I'm really glad I said good evening because I've been saying good morning all night, and so I really wanted to nail that, and I did, so everything out from here on out is cake. But my name is Daniel Hunter. I am the children's pastor here at High Point, as well as a shepherd and a member of the preaching team. And I am just beyond excited that you are here worshiping with us tonight, that you've chosen to include us as part of your Christmas. And part of me feels like I've been called up into the big leagues tonight. So bear with me, please. But as I said, I'm glad that you are here with us. And if you're joining us online, I am equally as excited that you are here and have included us in your Christmas. So we're here. We made it. It's Christmas, celebrating the birth of our Savior, stepping down from heaven to be with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Sometimes we can get lost in the pageantry of Christmas and all of the things that go along with it, but let us not forget that simple fact. God stepped out of heaven, came to earth to be with us, so that we would be saved from our sin. The ramifications of this holiday, of this birth, they're world and life-changing for you and for me and all those that believe. Our series this Advent season has been called All This Light. And we've walked through John chapter 1 together as we've looked at the light that Christ's birth brought into the world. However, as I was preparing for tonight and thinking about it, I kept thinking about darkness. I kept thinking about the night Christ was born. How dark it must have been, how quiet it must have been. It reminds me of those cold West Texas nights, you know, where there's no light pollution, and it's just cold and quiet. Take yourself there. Can you picture it? But then, all of a sudden, the cry of a baby shatters through and breaks the silence, and the darkness that Israel had lived in has been overcome by light. Light of a Savior. A Savior that's come to rescue them. A Savior that's come to rescue us. We no longer have to live in the dark because Christ came. And we celebrate because the darkness has been overcome by all this light. And that's where we pick up tonight in John chapter 1. Verse 14, and so if you have your Bible or your phone or whatever you use, if you want to turn there. And if you don't have a Bible and you would like one, we have some on the back table by the lights over there for you. Here at High Point, we believe in the Word of God and access to the Word of God, so we want to bless you with that this Christmas. If you need one, that is yours to take home. But we start in verse 14, and it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, to understand kind of the ramifications of those statements, we have to look back at John 1:1 as it tells us what the Word is. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So if the Word was God, then that statement in verse 14 becomes all the more startling, all the more audacious. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God became flesh and came to live with us. Think about that tonight with an Old Testament mindset. How startling and outrageous and unthinkable that statement is, that God would come to dwell among us. Heck, I think we still struggle with that reality and that truth today. But here's the truth, though, church. That's what we celebrate tonight. He came to you. God has come close to you through the person of Jesus Christ. We can spend our lives going from thing to thing, searching, trying to find God, thinking it will bring us closer to Him. A promotion, status, comfort. If I just do all the right things, if I go to church enough, all of those things we search that we think are going to bring us closer, and we can find them in all of those things. Or we can stay still sometimes. We can finally actually stay still, and then God draws close, and then we just move on to the next thing. Now, a lot of those things aren't bad, and they are the call of the Christian life, but we can't find God in those things. You see, God draws near to us. He wants to be close to us, and we don't need to look any further than celebrating the birth of Christ to remember that truth. Emmanuel, God with us. He's here tonight. Now, as John writes the phrase, he says, dwelt among us. Another way of saying that is dwelt as in a tent among us, or tabernacled among us. And the tabernacle was many things to the people then. It was the center of Israel's camp. It was the place where the law of Moses was preserved, the place where God spoke to them, the place where sacrifices were made, and the center of Israel's worship. So as John writes that phrase, and he uses that verb, Leon Morris tells us this: properly, the verb signifies to pitch one's tent. And minister and author Marcus Dodd frames it this way: the association in John's mind was with the divine tabernacle in the wilderness, when Jehovah pitched his tent among the shifting tents of his people. Most importantly, the tabernacle was the dwelling place of God. So as they read these words and they hear these words, the idea of this happening, this coming in the flesh to be around them, God's set up camp here on earth. It's mind-blowing. That divine, holy place has come down to live among us, to be with us. Don't take it for granted. The reality, the overwhelming awe of it should never be lost on us. It should change us as people. The glory of God, the overwhelming light, has taken on human flesh, human weakness to be with us. It should change the way we live. Charles Spurgeon encourages us with these words: if God has come to dwell among men by the Word made flesh, let us pitch our tents around this central tabernacle. Do not let us live as if God were a long way off. So this Christmas, I ask you, what is your tent pitched around? Where have you set up camp? He sent His Son here in all His glory, and will our lives reflect that glory? Will we set up camp around the tabernacle? Or will we live as if He hasn't come at all and He's a long way off, still searching in the darkness, setting up camp around things of the world? We no longer have to search. No longer do we have to wander in the darkness. The light has of Christ has come, and we get to live in that light. And John says we see that glory. The glory can come from the Son of only come from the Son of the Father. Much like his glory filling the tabernacle in Exodus, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So then too, his glory is seen and made manifest in his Son. The birth of Christ means that we're no longer separated from God, that we're no longer separated as humans from seeing the glory of God. We have full access to him. We have full access to the light and to the glory. It's shown to us on the cross. Matthew 27. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were split. The curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple, where no one was able to go. It was torn top to bottom. God tore the veil so that we could experience his glory daily, freely, and intimately. Before that moment, we couldn't experience that glory. We were separated by the veil. But now, because of him, because of his blood shed on the cross, his light shines on each of us. And it's up to us to extend that light out into the world. And we extend that light into the world as people of the light, people who have set up camp around the living tabernacle. Much like Christ, we should be people of grace and truth. Evangelist G. Campbell Morgan says, these two ideas should hold our minds and direct our lives. God is grace and truth. Not one without the other, not the other apart from the one. In his government, there can be no lowering of the simple and severe standard of the truth. And there is no departure from the purpose and passion of grace. So in truth and grace, we must bear witness to the light that exists in our lives only because of him. And we take that light and shine it into the lives of others, into the darkness, into the wilderness. It always makes me think of the song, This Little Light of Mine. You know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And I'm going to stop there. We got Tyler and we got Samantha to sing. That's way better. Like, nobody wants me to keep going. That's about as much as you'll ever hear me sing. But it's a simple yet beautiful illustration of the call to live a Christian life. As people who have received grace and mercy and forgiveness, who've had his light shine in our own darkness, into our own wilderness. How can we possibly keep that to ourselves? There's a world around us covered in darkness. And so that's why we're pointed back to John the Baptist, the man who continually pointed everyone to Christ. Verse 15, John bore witness about him and cried out, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me. For from his fullness we've all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, and truth and grace, or grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. John the Baptist understood the assignment. He understood the call of a life following Christ. He made his whole ministry not about himself, not about what he knew, but he made it about Christ. Everyone that he came into contact with knew one thing. They knew about Jesus. They knew about the truth and the grace that was coming through the person of Jesus Christ. John was coming to point us to a new way of life, a new order that would exist far different from the one that people under the law of Moses had experienced. The birth of Christ changed the game. Now, as John writes, we've all received grace upon grace. Life in Christ is in stark contrast to a life of laws and regulations that existed under the law of Moses. Grace upon grace shows us that God's grace to his people is continuous and never ending. You're never outside of it. His grace shines so clearly at the birth of Christ. So for us, part of taking our light out into the darkness is being people of grace and forgiveness. And not just sometimes, not when it's convenient, not when it's easy, not when we like the person, but all of the time. It can be easy to turn to anger and to bitterness. It's the way of the world. It's the instant reaction. However, if we succumb to that temptation, we're just joining the darkness. You see, we're called to be the example, to stand out, to shine the light into the darkness. Jesus tells us this in Matthew chapter 5. You are the light of the world. The city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Christ's light shone into your heart and into your life. Let's not hide it. Instead, let's be a people that light the world. Let's be a people that are an example of who Christ is. And it's not so that we would receive the glory or that you or I would receive the credit, because it's him who brought the light into the world. We're just reflecting it back onto him. Christ is that example of grace and truth. John wrote, the law came from Moses, but truth and grace came from Christ. Now we have to remember, as Jesus told us in Matthew, do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I had not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. This is the truth. The birth of Jesus didn't get rid of the law. It didn't make it null and void. We're still commanded to live lives worthy of the gospel. We're still called to follow his ways, follow God's will. However, he knew that we would never be able to fulfill that law perfectly as it was required. So what did he do? He sent us Christ to fulfill it by taking our place on the cross. The cross was meant for you and for me. But Christ, in his perfection, paid the ultimate price that was required by the law. It wasn't abolished, it was fulfilled through the cross on Calvary's hill. Christ came to fulfill what you and I never could. That is the truth. And it is through him, it is through Jesus, that we see the nature of an unseen God. We're reminded a lot throughout Scripture that as humans, as broken humans, We can't see God in His true nature and in His full glory. It's too overwhelming for you and for me. We look at the transfiguration. He said He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise, have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. The full glory of the Lord is too much for us. But as we've said time and time again tonight, it is through Jesus we get to see His full glory. Jesus is the perfect declaration of an unseen God. We no longer have to wonder about the nature and personality of our Father. It's made manifest in His Son, Jesus. This Christmas, as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, may we also remember that it is in this moment we experience the glory and the light of our Father in heaven who came to be with us. Israel had been in darkness, waiting on their Messiah for years before Christ would come. Isaiah described this waiting in chapter 59. "Therefore, justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light and behold darkness, and for brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at noon as in twilight. Among us, those in full vigor, we are like dead men." Complete darkness with a faint hope of light, not knowing when it would come. All they could do was hold fast to the promises of their God. All they could do was hold fast to the promises that Isaiah writes in chapter 60. "Arise, shine your light. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and His glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." They had existed in darkness for so long. But Christ came. The light came into the world. This Christmas, you may have been in darkness, but God, Christ came and brought the light. Or maybe you come tonight still in that darkness. I hope you know that Christ has come. His light is shining. He is drawing near to you. Church, it is now time for us to arise. He has entered the world. Now we must take the light and go into the world, into the dark, into the wilderness, so that everyone that encounters us may see His light and His glory. This Christmas, may the world see the brightness of our rising through the grace, through our truth, through the way we point everyone back to Him. This Christmas, may we reflect the glory and nature of our Savior. Because when we do that, we can celebrate. Because it's in that moment we can see all this light. Will you pray with me, please? Father, I thank you. We come tonight humble. This is the night that hope was born, love was born, peace was born. We have joy because of this birth. We hear the story so often, we can become complacent. We can tune out because we already know it. My prayer tonight is that our hearts would be softened to new realities, to new truths, or maybe even old ones that we forgot. I don't have to ask you to be here. You're already here tonight in this room. May we acknowledge the presence. May that reality never be taken for granted. May we never grow cold to that reality. You came to be with us in our brokenness and in our mess and in our hurt and in our pain. So let us celebrate. We have a hope and we have a future in your Son. May we take that light that shines into our darkness and raise that light as a reminder that we are to go into the world and be a people that shine that light in the darkest places, into the darkest corner of people's hearts. It's in your name we pray. Amen.